Podcasting 2.0 for January 20th, 2023, episode 118. No Malaise here. Hello, everybody. Once again, time for the official board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. The future is here. It's now. We got everything going on with the namespace, podcastindex.org, all of the gossip, and of course, all the brain power that is melting and oozing all over podcastindex.social. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the Litmeister, Mr. Live Item Tag himself. Say hello to my friend on the other end, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dave Jones.
It's like I'm living in a movie today.
You're living in a movie? Yeah. In a movie?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Escape from Poop Central.
Is something wrong with the dog?
Something's wrong with my office, my day job office.
Oh, what do you mean?
So
what's
our,
happening?
The IT office, you know, the dungeon with
yes,
no windows.
Of course. Why would it?
It is where three of us reside.
Uh-huh.
It is yesterday afternoon. This lady that works there came downstairs. She walks, you know, I see her walk by, and then she's like, oh my God. And so we jumped up and ran out there.
Yeah.
And there is a lake of sewage in the kitchen.
Oh.
In the break room.
Oh. And of course, IT has to fix that as well, I guess, right?
That's,
yeah, hey, call someone like, nope, from I'm IT out. To clean up the poop.
Yeah. I made myself scarce real quick.
Oh, just a pipe that broke, or what happened?
It was backing up. The toilets were backing up. The maintenance room was backing. Anything with a floor drain.
Oh.
It was just the sewage was just coming back up.
Oh, no.
Oh, it was horrible. Oh, it was like, you know, effluent or whatever. And so they had to, like, you know, send everybody home.
Yeah,
you know,
that's like a real hazard. It's a hazard. You know, you can't have people walking around the poop all the time. That's bad.
No, it's kind of a big deal.
Wait, tell me that everyone didn't go, oh man, this must have been Larry who took a huge crap and blocked it off. Isn't that what everyone always says? Like, it was that guy.
Yeah, I saw him going in there with a newspaper. It was him.
Must have been Larry.
Yeah, you know, of course. Well, the way that happens, the call goes out. Okay, building, you can't use the bathrooms in the building. There's a blockage in the thing. Send everybody and everybody, you need to go work from home.
Mm-hmm.
So some percentage of that, let's just say, you know, some single digit percentage of people that are going to work from home decide that this is the day that they've needed. Oh, hey, I need an extra monitor, IT. And so it's just a stream of people coming by. It's like, hey, I'm leaving to go work from home. I forgot to tell you, my VPN hasn't been working. Can you get in?
Yeah,
and
can
fix
you just
that
fix
for
that
me?
Real quick? Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
hey,
yeah,
do you have a charger? I need a charger for my laptop because I can't find my charger.
Yeah, mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. I've been taking mine home. Can I get an extra?
It's yeah.
Like, oh. So that was fun.
Do they ever bribe you, though? Do they ever try to bribe you with something? Does anyone ever do it right?
No. You know, the people who never call you, in that scenario, you put them in the front of the line.
Right.
No,
right.
I like you a lot. No, but you're a repeat customer. Get in the back.
When Tina and I first got together, I taught her a few tricks about IT and how to get excellent support. She always got excellent support. Says, yeah, treat them like a guy you want to date. Hi. How you doing?
That will take you very far.
That'll take
that
you very far. Even for guys. Even for guys, it'll work that way. I know it does.
That'll take you. See, you've made your career out of being the sysadmin's, what do you want to call it? Like, attaboy guy.
I was chief technology officer for a company with 7 people and 8 different offices in 5 countries. And I learned real quick how important. In fact, when we acquired a new company, the first thing I do is get IT in there, get everybody real happy with laptops and everything, email addresses. All of that was tight right off the bat. Yeah. So you felt like you're a part of the organization.
Yeah, badass laptops, everything. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the whole treat thing. Right, like, yeah, and just everyone, cool, you know? That's and then you turn around and say, okay, now you're our bitch. You'll do whatever we say.
Give them lunch. Yeah, nice lunch. And you're like, all right, guys, 80-hour work weeks. Let's go.
Well, you're not the only company that is working from home today. Looks like Google, if you're not feeling good about the news from Google, you can work from home today. Did you see that note?
I've got it right here. It's actually on the printer.
A difficult decision to set us up for the future from Sundar Pichai, CEO of Google and Alphabet. So they let 12,000 people go approximately, which means 14,000 people. And I just really like this at the end. To the Googlers who are leaving us, thank you for working so hard to help people and businesses everywhere. Your contributions have been invaluable, and we are grateful for them. While this transition won't be easy, we're going to support employees as they look for their next opportunity in the U.S. Notice U.S. I'm sure many of you will have questions. I'm moving past all the nitty-gritty. I'm sure many of you will have questions on how we'll move forward. We'll be organizing a town hall on Monday. Yeah, like I'd really want to be a part of that. Check your calendar for details. Until then, please take good care of yourselves as you absorb this difficult news. As part of that, if you are just starting your workday, please feel free to work from home today. What kind of soy children are working at Google?
That's epic. I love that. I know we just fired you, but
feel free to work at home. But even if you're just triggered by it, you know, I was like, feel free to stay home. This is a bloodbath, man. It's I think I'm counting 70,000 tech workers in Silicon Valley let go in the past 6 weeks, I would say.
Yeah, so does that include like Amazon?
Well, Amazon did a cool thing. Well, cool. So they let 18,000 people go, and then they did it again with 18,000, which is a great trick. Because no matter how many times you search, you find 18,000. You'll never see 36,000.
Yeah, it's like BlackRock changing what was that group that changed their name to Z or whatever? X.
Oh no, that was Academy.
That
wasn't Black. Now you've confused
Black
me.
BlackRock. It's like
Black.
It was the
Black
Death. The mercenary
Black,
group.
Yeah, Black Death. Black Death. Then they became Academy. They became ZI.
Yeah, and this was unsearchable. Yeah, you just can't. You can't search for two letter anything.
What was that? Black. I can't remember what it was now.
Come on, chat room.
It was Academy.
Black Forest Ham.
Schwarzwald. hold on a second.
Blackwater.
There you
go. Ben Rose.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Ben Rose knows because he is a mercenary. That's how he knows.
Yes, he works for him.
And by the way, we are lit. That means the live item tag is activated. You can, hopefully, you got a bat signal on your Podverse or maybe Podcast Addict. I hear that they've got it all set up in beta. I don't know if it's in the full release yet. And of course, you can always listen to us and join in the chat room on CurioCaster. So that's three, and maybe another one coming soon, or another two. Who knows?
The Google thing, I thought a lot about this when I saw that. I was already thinking this way because I was listening to a new media show.
Right.
And it was a long conversation they had, and it wasn't really clippable. But, you know, they started off talking about the Google Podcasts shutdown.
Yeah, I'm ready to talk all about it whenever you
are. You got thoughts? Okay. Yeah, I brought a PowerPoint.
Hey, wait a minute. We need that in the lit tag, PowerPoint, where you can, how you can render the slides as we do this lit.
that'll really bring in the audience. Bring PowerPoint.
Live chapters, baby. Come on, it can be done.
Oh, it's a good idea. Oh, it is a very good idea. I'm like, okay, you got me. Uh-huh, right, so, uh-huh. Then when this thing hit with them laying off these people, it really confirmed what I was already thinking in this direction, and then this was like, oh yeah, total confirmation. The Google Podcasts thing is most, they removed it from their search. They removed podcasts from their search results. You know, and the immediate and understandable thought process was, well, you know, they're going to move all their podcasting stuff over to YouTube. You know, maybe.
No, let me just tell you. No,
I don't think so either. That's what I'm saying. I'm leaving open the fact that I could be wrong. I could be wrong. That mm-hmm. They may be, but my gut feeling is that here's what I think is going on inside Google. They have just woken up to the fact that they're about to get passed by. They're in trouble, and I think they can see it. they're now, you know, you have to, as a large company that has a huge market share in a particular industry, the thing you have to do, you go back to the Standard Oil example. Standard Oil at any point during within, you know, 10 years from the time that they went down, you could say, oh my God, they're in just a dominant position. But their dominant position was in kerosene. That was their big product, and they owned that market to the tune of 90%+ market share in the kerosene market. But then gasoline became the thing when cars began to be rolled out en masse. They were not prepared to transition. They made a miscalculation and thought that gasoline was not going to be as big of a thing. And of course, in retrospect, that was the worst possible decision they could have made. And they went from literally, you know, historically speaking, adjusted for inflation, J.D. Rockefeller was the richest man that's ever lived, that, you know, in the so-called modern era. I mean, you know, who knows in all time, but that we can think, that we can document to being a company. I know they were broken up as a monopoly, but that was on their, they were already dying when that process happened. They got rocked by a miscalculation in the market.
And what would you say is Google's miscalculation in this case?
I'm not, it's AI related, but I'm not going to say that it's AI itself. I think that it is the fact that their search is still based on that you ask a question and we give you a bunch of links. They missed it. Like, let me lay this out real quick. If you think about what's happened over the last 20 years of, you know, tech disruption and cloud-based software, 99% of the software that is quote unquote disrupted the market in any particular vertical market, most of that software didn't do new things. A lot of times the software, the on-premise software it was replacing, the cloud version did way less. Mm-hmm. It didn't do even a fraction of what the entrenched incumbent on-prem software application did. The problem was, the way that they sold it and got the disruption was, yeah, it was cloud-based and didn't rely on on-prem expertise, but a lot of it was sort of smoke and mirrors with the UI. So they would take a complex thing and they would design the UI where it was very simplistic and it was full of charts and pretty things and that kind of stuff. They removed a lot of the clutter of old on-prem, like Windows-based software, where it was just full of menus and radio buttons and click and sub-menus and preference panes and all this kind of stuff. They took all that away and you just had this very simplistic flat UI that was like, okay, I want to do this thing, click a button, get a report. And that's like all it did. Mm-hmm. And it couldn't do 50 of the other things that the entrenched software could. That's really, I think, what's at the heart of what's about to happen here is that Google is still based on this. If you look at the Google search results page, it's a mess. And it's a nerdy mess. Most people really don't understand what's going on 90% of that page. But then you put ChatGPT in front of them, and ChatGPT is terrible, but it gives you the experience that's like, I plug this thing in and it gives me an answer. That right there alone, even if and I don't know if you saw this, somebody posted a back and forth they had with ChatGPT.
I did see this. You posted
where they said 10+10 is equals 25.
I didn't see that one.
Okay, so they said 10+10 equals 25. And ChatGPT responded, said, no, it equals 20. And they said, no, they responded back to ChatGPT and said, no, you're mistaken. 10+10 does equal 25. And ChatGPT responded and said, oh, my apologies. Yes, you're right. 10+10 does equal 25. And then it began to argue with ChatGPT, began to argue with the person trying to prove that it actually does equal 25. this thing is a complete farce. It's a mess, but it gives you the experience. It gives you the UI experience that can blow, that can overnight blow something like Google out of the water. That's why I think if you look at this difficult decision to set us up for the future, which is the title of the
memo
that he sent out, the words AI are all over this. He mentions AI like six times.
That's just, in my mind, a byproduct of what's happening. And I warned for this a year ago. First of all, if you've noticed, the United States government is out everywhere saying, oh, TikTok is bad, TikTok is bad, China spying on us. Yeah, okay. Like the only app in the app store that is spying on us is TikTok. Okay. No, TikTok is eating their lunch. I look at the numbers. I look at all of the advertising. It's going to TikTok. That's where the audience has gone. They're also going there for search. So and we can talk about ChatGPT. I think it's a complete dud, and it's not the core problem. The core problem is when people are looking for, I'll give an example of my little town here, Fredericksburg, Texas. Instead of going to Google and saying, what's a great restaurant in Fredericksburg, Texas? They're going on TikTok and saying, what's a great restaurant in Fredericksburg, Texas? And they'll see a TikTok video of some people going, look at this cool food. It was so great. Oompa, 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 ah, tamta, dance, dance. And they'll go to that restaurant. It is in effect, in a way, also a decentralization of Google's search role. People are finding more value in recommendations from other people, and they're finding it on TikTok. The ad money is going to TikTok. So what Google and Meta have done is their lobbyists have solicited the incredible help of several senators and representatives in the U.S. government. Hawley is one of them. Marco Rubio is one of them. Of course, he's on the security, the Senate Security Oversight Committee or whatever. So it sounds real official. Nothing could be further from the truth. There's campaign funds flowing everywhere. Get rid of TikTok. So instead of competing like a real American company should, they are getting rid of them this way. And so first the government couldn't load the TikTok app, and now the University of Texas, and it's just going to go on. And so they're all in on it, and they're getting paid off. It's pathetic. So that's one. Mm-hmm. Two, we are about to go into a 5 to 10 year real, I'll just call it a recession for technology. And that's because we kicked the can down the road from 2008, 2009, and now we have, whoops, there we go. Interest rates are up. They'll go, 5%, 6%. The free money is over. This is what I kept saying last year. The free money is over. So what you saw with Google Podcast, they are evaluating everything. I ran a big company, 700 employees, and we were public. And if we were going to miss our numbers, you have to reduce cost. What is the biggest cost in every organization? Number one, top of the list
is payroll.
Payroll, exactly. So they cut payroll, and they also looked at what business is making money. Well, I guarantee you podcasting makes no money for them because it's a farce. It's never really been a huge moneymaker. It's a lie. I've kept saying this. It is just not true. So, they're just removing. I think Google Podcast, YouTube Podcast is going away. They're not going to mess with it. There's no money in it. Apple is not going to do an app for Android. And why anyone in the podcasting industry would say, come on, Apple, do an Android version. Why are you so rude? We have fantastic apps for Android. Don't be rude. Don't be sucking these guys off. They've done nothing for you. Nothing. They're not your friends. They don't care. They just don't care. So we have that. The decentralization, I think, is an important thing that's taking place. And it's a little more nuanced than I'm running an umbrella at home. It truly is. People are finding different ways to communicate, different ways to. Mastodon is a very good example of this. And I think Elon Musk also underestimated what would happen. But what's even more beautiful than just Mastodon taking place and people moving away from Twitter to Mastodon is the journalists are being shunned. The journal, you know, there's a really good article. Let me just pick it up real quick. Journalists want to recreate Twitter on Mastodon. Mastodon is not into it. This is from is from CJR, which is the the journalism people. And, you know, so journalists are now realizing, oh, wait a minute, we have no power. We don't have the power that we had. No, the people are taking back the power and are using that to their own benefit. That's why they're not, you know, we don't feel like we have to be pigeonholed into Google search to get answers. Mm-hmm. All of this is going away towards the edges. But the main thing is there's just no money. So we see the Google podcast creator program, the BIPOC creator program, all of these things that was just icing on the cake for a corporation to score brownie points. It's done. Well, we don't have that free money anymore. Anything that is not wildly profitable, hello, Spotify, is in big trouble. Big trouble. That's why you see Spotify come out with the, Apple, you're harmful. You're anti-competitive. You're ruining our business. No, you have no business. And I'm just going to finish it up. Why anyone thinks that they're going to make money by being on Spotify, you should talk to a musician once in a while. How's that working out? It's all corrupt. All the record companies, they got stock in Spotify. They bailed out when it was $300. They sold. They don't care. They don't care. They get blanket licenses. That's also going to change. You're not going to see, well, they're probably stuck in some of these big sports streaming deals, but you're not going to see the big blanket license covering all music anymore. Because that's how they do it. Why can you play music and have it on YouTube? Why can you do that on TikTok? Because they've purchased blanket licenses. All of the whole structure is falling apart because of the free money train being over. And it could be 5 years, it could be 10 years. And now is the time to hunker down, create some cool shit, and just work as lean and thinly as you can to get by. And I am so happy. And in fact, I'm proud what we've done with Podcasting 2.0, because not only do we have an alternative where people can develop new places, new experiences, you know, there can be innovation, which you're not going to get. You're not going to get innovation from Silicon Valley in something that isn't wildly profitable. And it's just not. They know it. That's why Apple never really did much. That's why they're promoting their subscriptions, which of course it's a drop in the bucket, but you know, I can see where it's working for them and people like getting the attention that, you know, the Apple iTunes or the Apple podcast app will give you, and you know, oh, we're promoting all of the things that we make money on basically. So now is the time to hunker down and build your community and build your experiences. And it's going to be a great ride for people who aren't reliant on just benefactors and sugar daddies showing up. That's all over. I think you're going to see a lot of things fall apart. And I hate to say that companies are going to fall apart, because I think in general the podcast hosting business is nicely decentralized. We have a very nice mix, so we can lose one or two, and I don't want anything to close. But it's going to be skin of the teeth time, no doubt about it. And I'm very happy that we've built this. This community outside of Silicon Valley, we don't have to be begging anybody to do anything for us.
Podcasting is like podcasting to a company like Google. And this, I think, is more general. It applies across the board. Podcasting to a company like Google is like Google Reader is to a company like Google.
Sure.
It's just an add-on.
Their business is search advertising, period.
Right, right.
Period.
Their business is search ads. The search market in general is weakening. You can see that their search ad revenue is also beginning to get shaky, because on the security side of things, a thing we've been seeing for the past on the cybersecurity front for the past, I'd say, month or so, there's been a lot of talk in the security community about malicious ads that are beginning to become more and more common in Google search.
Mm.
They're not policing the quality or the security and safety of the search ads. So you can
security and suitability and safety. Yes. Throw some suitability in there.
So you go on any given day, you go and do a Google search for something like Notepad++ or some or 7-Zip or some thing.
And you get some download that is going to ruin your day.
That used to never happen with Google search. Now you are some percentage likely on even any given day to get a malicious search ad. And the fact that they're allowing that through, it means that something is shaky. And that again tells me their focus. Well, here's what his memo said. It says, "We've undertaken a rigorous review across product areas and functions to ensure that our people and roles are aligned with our highest priorities as a company. The roles we're eliminating reflect the outcome of that review. They cut across Alphabet product areas, functions, levels, and regions." This is him saying we are getting rid of anything that we feel like is not core. We don't care two cents about that.
Correct.
If you think if you're a podcast industrial complex, you know, participant, and what your thought process has been is, oh, well, they're taking Google Podcasts. They're going to stick it over here. They're going to move it over to YouTube. There's going to be a podcast tab in the YouTube app. You're going to be able to go get podcasts. Like, I may eat these words, but I don't think that will ever happen. I think what's going to happen, YouTube's podcast, quote unquote, strategy probably comes down to this. Cherry pick successful shows like Joe Rogan when it's possible to get these shows back that are video based, get them back on YouTube. And that's it.
Yeah, that's
something they can.
You're absolutely right. Again. Yeah, you absolutely look at the page. What you don't see is a nice page of album art that people have spent a lot of time on because they don't exist for these shows. None of these are podcasts. A podcast has album art. The album art is the brand of the show. You expect you go to a podcast page, you're going to see album art of shows or brands that you recognize. No, you're seeing screenshots. Look, episode 5000 with the guy with the mouth open, bam, you're with the hair crazy.
Bam.
That's what YouTube does. And I think you're going to see YouTube also, you know, I'm not so sure YouTube is widely profitable. I'm not so sure about that. It's a lot, very expensive to do what they're doing.
Very expensive.
The processing, the serving, which is also why video has never really made it in podcasting. And that's not that it hasn't been possible. Todd always makes me laugh. He's like, we've been doing a video on this new media show podcast for 13, 14 years. But if you go to Blueberry, you can't get any package that'll allow you to transfer video because it's too expensive. They can't make money off of it. YouTube was free video. That's their trick. That's ending. I'm telling you, it's all going to end. And this is a beautiful time for us.
It is.
It's going to be so fun, so creative. It's going to be scrappy, like that, like it was any different. But it's going to be scrappy. And there's just, we'll see conferences scale down significantly. Because that's another one of those, we got a budget here for the conferences. Well, after you've cut down people, the next thing you do is travel. And then you go to all the extraneous stuff. What are we doing with conferences? Well, we're still spending 30 grand on this podcast conference, 50 grand over here. Yeah, cut that out right away. What's the ROI?
Keep an eye on traditional, on podcasts. Keep an eye on companies that their name always showed up as a sponsor of whatever podcast conference and see if their names disappear off the sponsorship list.
Mm-hmm.
That will happen. You're right. It's going to be scrappy, but it's scrappy in like
In a good way.
In for reals way. Not in a, I happen to just, somebody just fell, tripped over their wallet and threw $1 million at me. Like a scrappy in a way where, where the funding and that kind of thing is coming from it's coming to groups, apps and hosts and stuff like that, that have legitimate products and that can change the market. Yeah.
And I think right now is a good time. If you're serious, if you just want a podcast for your group, for your community, for your Boy Scout troop, for your church, whatever it is. And it's not an income generating thing you're doing necessarily, which is still the majority of people who podcast. We've gotten into this, you got to make money, got to grow the show. No, not necessarily. I don't want to grow the show bigger than my community is. You know, it's like that's very dependent upon what you're using it for. I see all the reports, you know, and you're responsible for most of the bad news. Well, oh no, oh my God, no more new shows have been created. What's happening? We have no more. We're not growing. We're stagnant. Of course. Of course. And this is a great time to start something.
Oh,
because people are not, there is no promise anymore of money. It really has never been there unless you're a minority group, because that's what it was. The podcast industrial complex in general was spending money on minority groups to check a box.
Yeah, as a tool.
Totally as a tool, under the guise of there's not enough diverse voices. Well, the diverse voices are out there. They can start. It's not hard to start. But I guess we needed programs for that. So that's all going by the wayside. The $200,000 episode consultants, I see you on LinkedIn. It's $5,000 now, if that. Overnight, that changed. It was a farce. The whole thing was built on a house of cards and bullshit. Now, the core of podcasting, it's solid, rock solid. We're a part of that. It's going to be fantastic. If you really are making a great product that people care about, growing your show is bullshit. Discovery is bullshit. All of that. I'm just going to say one more time. It's just bullshit. I'll tell you.
Show title.
Yeah. Bullshit. There you go. Let's bring in the guy who I think is doing a very good job of all of this. He is. What?
I said, oh, we got a guy.
I thought you said no. I'm like, okay, screw him. I'm disconnected.
Boot.
Oh, where is that?
Boot.
There you go. He is in the United Kingdom. He is known as the developer of the Fountain app. Please welcome back to the boardroom, ladies and gentlemen, the Honorable Oscar Murray.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, Oscar. Now, are you all pumped about podcasting after that opening?
Oh, yeah. More pumped than ever after that.
It's all going down. It's flaming. It's in flames. The Led Zeppelin is going over. Now, build an app.
When it comes to podcasting 2.0 apps that are value for value, which, of course, is not a fair comparison because we have a number of great apps that do not have streaming sats in there. Fountain has constantly been on top, usually by quite a stretch. And you've a lot of innovation. The most interesting thing to me, I think we talked about it on the last board meeting, is this activity stream that you've put in. This has blown me away because I'm looking at this. I'm like, hey, these guys are commenting on this podcast and I see friends of mine and there's a boost there. I'm now using this activity stream to find new things to listen to. It's really
discovery.
It's discovery. It's genius. And finally, there is a new podcast. I don't want to say that no one has innovation, but this is a very, very nice new podcasting experience. I open up the app. It doesn't show me what I haven't listened to or how many podcasts are unlistened, which is a horrible feeling whenever I see that. Oh, man, I'm so behind. It shows me all this stuff. And I think this is the direction that we need to go in. And I'd like you to just bring us up to speed on the new version of the app and what you've done and how it's working out.
Yeah, sure. I'll give an overview. And yeah, great to hear that, Adam, because that's definitely the intention with the feature. But yeah, let me just give a quick overview. So we launched Fountain 0.6 a couple of weeks ago, which included two big features. One is the fiat on-ramp. So now you can top up your wallet with Apple Pay or Google Pay, which we think is really
Wait, you can top up with Apple Pay and Google Pay?
Yeah, you can top up with Apple Pay directly in the app.
Wow. I don't have Apple, but you can do that with Google as well?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, I'm on some funky old graphene OS. I probably don't count in that regard. I didn't know that. That's okay. Wow. That's big.
Yeah. So that we think that's really important just for, it means that you can receive your first sats into the Fountain app, into your wallet without actually having to really leave the app. Obviously you pay via MoonPay,
right?
Through a web view, but you're still within the app. So yeah, you can just buy your first sats in the app. But yeah, so we're really excited about that and happy to talk more about the onboarding, which I think last time I was on, I mentioned was like the biggest challenge that I saw. Mm-hmm. But yeah, on the activity stuff, essentially, the activity feed now, which is on the home screen of the Fountain app, shows you all of the activity from the people that you follow on Fountain. And this is primarily drawn from the boost. So for example, if I follow you, Adam, on Fountain, and you send a boost to either an episode or a show, I will see that in my activity feed along with the message. And then as well as just, and what I'll see underneath that is the actual episode content card or the show content card. So mm-hmm. It allows me to actually straight away just go and play that episode. I can also reply to the boost or like the boost and send you some sats for that comment. And then the activity feed is also integrated with our clipping features. So for example, if you created a clip of an episode, I would also see that clip in my activity feed. So it's just a way for, you know, you to discover what people you're following are listening to effectively and what they're finding valuable. I think, you know, we've been really pleased with the way it's been working over the past couple of weeks, because obviously it's one thing to come up with this idea, but it's actually been working. And, you know, you see somebody send a boost to a show that you've never heard of before. And you, to be honest, you're probably not going to go and subscribe to that feed or, you know, add it to your library. But maybe the episode is interesting enough that you'll go and listen to, you know, half of it. And then you know about that show and then you can recommend it to someone else. So I think, yeah, the boosts and the Satoshis that go along with it, using that as a discovery signal for what content is worth listening to, I think is really powerful. And that's what we've tried to surface in the activity feed.
Now, can I pay you to show up in that activity feed for everybody?
Yeah, exactly. So we also have our promotions. So as a podcaster, you can, you don't actually pay to, well, you pay to appear in the activity feed, but the way the promotions work is you're not paying for impressions. So you're not actually paying to be in the feed. You only pay out when people listen to your content, and that's all done with streaming stats in the opposite direction. So if I wanted to promote my show, I could just say, I want to set max sats 5,000 for this episode, streams per minute in the other direction, and people can kind of listen there. So yeah, that's how you can promote your show on Fountain.
So I can't go around the system and buy that from you directly.
Yeah, you can.
You can buy
a promotion. You can promote your show from within the Fountain app with a credit card, with Apple Pay as well. So okay. You can do all that right. All within the app.
Okay.
Good call on Apple Pay, by the way. Apple Pay and Google Pay, because that sort of gets you in the good graces, because they want you to, you know, they want you to use Apple Pay, because then you don't have to, I think it, tell me if I'm wrong. I think the way that it works is if you use Apple Pay, you don't have to do the 30, you don't have to give Apple the 30% cut.
Yeah, exactly. We don't have to give them the cut on Apple Pay. We do for our premium subscription, but not for those one-off purchases.
Well, that's a great way to do it. And it gets you in the sort of good graces of Apple and Google by going through their payment system, you know, sort of kind of gets you off their back a little bit, you know, like gets them off your back.
I wouldn't count on it.
Well, I mean, you know, because
forever,
you're like,
not forever.
It's not, there's nothing against the App Store rules for having, you know, Bitcoin payments and that kind of thing in there. I mean, that's not against the rules, but everybody is, you know, nervous about it. And then, but then if you integrate with Apple Pay and that kind of thing, you're doing you're going a route that they want you to go, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
So that gives you a little bit of, I'm not saying like cover, but you're being a good citizen of their ecosystem in their eyes. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think more with the premium subscription using their in-app purchases, I think that covers us off a lot more than Apple Pay. I mean, because, you know, essentially we are, you know, paying Apple every month 30% of what we make on that. So, you know, we're providing them with a revenue stream. And actually, when we first launched Fountain, we added the premium subscription with a terrible set of additional features just so that Apple would, you know, pay attention to that and approve the app without the risk the streaming sats being kind of looked at and saying, why aren't you using?
Yeah, you paid the tax.
We paid the tax. Yeah.
Well, so, I mean, are you doing okay on premium? I mean, do you have a pretty good base of subscribers now?
Yeah, so we've got a decent amount of subscribers. I think we need to do a lot better with just, you know, the app features and the premium features. So the premium features right now are, number one, you can reduce the transaction fees from 4% to 1%. And those fees are on top of whatever the sat value is so that we maintain the numerology. And then you have the option to remove promotions if you want to. And then you have access to more advanced clipping features with the transcript. So, yeah, 4% of our users pay for premium, which, you know, is funny. That's the same number.
It's my number, baby. It's my number. Yeah, it's my number.
I mean, we're happy with that, considering like that we're early still, but obviously we would like to push it up. I mean, I've heard that Spotify, their conversion is 40% on premium, but I mean, if you listen to Spotify without premium, it's so annoying. You know, you can't shuffle, you can't skip the ads, so it's much more of a
even if you have premium. The Joe Rogan show, I think I mentioned this, is interrupted every 10 minutes. You're watching video, then all of a sudden the video closes. You hear Joe going, "Hey, I love these pills." And, you know, there's two ad reads, and then it goes right back into the video. It's every 10, 15 minutes, and I pay for premium. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
Crazy.
Two pieces of feedback that I got from people, because, of course, for my test bed is Curry and the Keeper. Because these are not your typical podcast app users, not your typical technology adopters. You know, I even got a report from John Spurlock that showed that indeed on that particular show. Now, we're only available podcasting 2.0, not in the Apple or Spotify or anything like that. We have a pretty high, so it's actually like this, Safari, Chrome, Podverse, Podcast Addict, Firefox, Edge, it goes down the list. And that's right when a show is released, it's mainly on browsers, and then there's a conversion, and the conversion, is actually, it's interesting as well. Because we have Podverse 25%, Podcast Addict 16%, Fountain 11%. so they are getting to the app, and a lot of people, of course, were struggling, just trying to figure out what is this Satoshi? I mean, they're starting at the beginning, obviously. Now that you've added that, and we've been talking about, you know, okay, now you can now you can fill up your wallet right in the app. This is very exciting. People are, okay, I'm doing this. And here's the main thing we get back. I don't trust this thing called MoonPay. What the hell is that? Is this a bug? Is this a hacker? And and I will say, at least one person said, I went to the FAQs, saw that was the approved partner, and so I felt better about it. But the minute someone has to get, because the onboarding is slick, there's no driver's license, no take a picture, move your head, cough three times. It's your social security number, which is also a thing for people. Like, I'm going to give my social security number to an outfit called MoonPay. So it's just these little things, but it's getting there. And you can be really proud of how well you're doing with this.
Oh, no, thanks. I appreciate that. And yeah, I definitely understand that it's not ideal that we have to introduce a third party and it's an additional, you know, entity that you have to ask the question, who are these people? You know, what are they doing? Mm-hmm. I think hopefully at some point we will be able to do it all underneath, you know, just the kind of Fountain brand in the app. But I think for now, the MoonPay flow is much better than what we had before.
Oh, yeah.
You avoid the Lightning invoices. You avoid having to download another Lightning wallet to your phone. So, yeah, step in the right direction, but still lots we can do there.
And in general, Podverse now also has a much easier onboarding process with the Albi wallet. They have MoonPay built right in. Granted, it is one step outside of the app. But I'm seeing... I'm just seeing the increase. Dave, you've seen it too. It's an increase. There's a daily increase. What is now, of course, I'm also looking at fiat dollars. So that has changed a little bit in the past.
It's really transaction count.
That's what we're looking at. Yeah, the transaction count is way up. And it's incredibly exciting to see. I mean, it really, now all the stuff I'm talking about is just communication. You know, it's just communication, UX, all that kind of stuff. But people are doing it. And I think this was a huge, huge step forward for podcasting 2.0, for the value for value piece, a big, big step forward, having this onboarding inside the apps.
Yeah. And you know, I've thought this before, that all of these things that you have to go through, the KYC and that kind of stuff, it's no different than you have to go through with anything else. I mean, try to go get a bank account.
Oh, it was worse for Cash App, man. We had the Cash App. You had to do license and literally take a picture, move your head left, move your head right.
Yeah,
that's much worse.
The only difference is it's all at once. Like with, you know, when you go through one of these other ones, like trying to get any sort of financial like account anywhere for anything, not crypto related, just normal everyday stuff with fiat currency. It's just as onerous, except that it's in slow motion over time. And so you don't really notice, you don't really put it all together. It's just slow, right. Sort of small, you know, 1,000 cuts. But when you go through like a crypto quote unquote onboarding process, it's just sort of like, boom, 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 boom. You got to give them all your stuff all at once. And it's like, whoa, this feels intrusive, but it's really probably in the ultimately less intrusive than going to even, you know, to get some other kind of account really.
Go ahead, Dave.
No, I was going to ask, how do I game your system? I've been trying. I want the developer of Fountain to tell me how can I take a podcast I love and put it to the top of the charts?
Oh, well, I'm glad you asked, because there is a way. And of course,
yes, I've got a pin.
And so we stole the concept of the baller boost. I'm sure you guys won't mind, but essentially in your feed, even if you're not following that person, the baller boost from the last 3 days will show up in everyone's feed. So if you want to, you know, showcase that episode to everybody using Fountain,
you got to boost your own balls.
You got to get to the top.
Interesting.
Is there a magic number that you can reveal, or is there a discovery process that has to happen for this?
No, it just depends on the top boost by sat value in the last 3 days.
Singular.
Now, does that have to be a boost coming? It has to be a boost coming from Fountain, though, right?
Yeah, it does right now. But, you know, one of the things I like commit to is that everything that we see in Fountain right now, I want that to work kind of between the apps. So for example, right now, if you send a boost from I think Breeze, CurioCaster, not sure about Podverse, but it will actually show up on the episode page in Fountain.
How do you do that?
So if we have a split, then we can see the value MSAT total, and we can you know, check to see, you know, have we created this already? And if not, then we can create that boost and just set it to be from whatever the sending app was from.
So okay. if you host, if you're the one that onboarded the podcaster, so you would have a split there, and so you'd be able to see it.
Yeah. And even if we didn't onboard the podcaster, some podcasters that are running their own node, for example, just give us a 1% split.
I want to do that right away. I want to do that right away. I want all my boosts to show up on Fountain.
Yeah. So you can, if you give us a 1% split, we'll create the boost from Curiocaster, Breeze, and Podverse. I can't remember. I spoke to Mitch and there was like one tiny thing that we needed to change. It might be working now, but maybe someone can double check that on a feed that has a Fountain split.
Okay. So so baller boosts go into the sort of universal activity feed, but then how does that relate to the charts, like the charts that you produce on your site? Is that a different algorithm, or is that basically just a conglomeration of the activity feed stuff?
Yeah, it's basically the same. It's all based on the Satoshi value. Yeah, and the charts right now are just based on support from Fountain, within Fountain, but we plan to kind of aggregate any income that we see from other apps as well.
What is the Fountain username for the split?
I'll have to send that to you.
No, man, I'm here ready to fill it in. I'm ready to put my split in.
Yeah, it does require, I'll have to look that up. Okay. Well, I mean, one thing that this kind of leads into, which would be great to get your thoughts on, is I think there's a GitHub thread about this on the podcast index GitHub, but you know, the ability to add a lightning address to the split, because I think this would make things a lot easier. Just in situations like these, instead of asking for my value block, you can just ask for my lightning address. Right. And I know both Albi and Fountain have the same key send lookup format. That kind of, it's not the LN URL spec. It's not in that spec, but we both just went for the same one. So yeah, I think that'd be great to get into the value block spec, and then we can just say, hey, what's your lightning address? I'll add you to the split.
Does it have to be in this? Probably wouldn't. Does it have to be named in the spec? Cause I think you can do that now, right? I mean, the question is, or the blocker there is, the service that's hosting the wallets has to be capable to resolve it. So like in the case of something like LN Pay, Tim would have to make sure that LN Pay does that lookup before, cause you could just put the lightning address in there and then he would have to do the lookup on the fly. Am I understanding that right?
Yeah, I guess we could. So for example, if we saw, you know, type equals node and address equals lightning address, we could choose to interpret that. But ideally, if we had, for example, you know, a different type, or, you know, LN URL pay, the lightning address, because then we can kind of agree, like Fountain, Podverse, Albi, Curiocaster, whoever else can all agree that, okay, this is the way that we're going to do that lookup.
Mm-hmm. Well, what should that look like? Should it be in the address field with a different type, or should it just be the type still is lightning, but the address, you have maybe an additional attribute that is something else, like key, you know, I don't know, just some other named attribute. And it's like, well, if that thing is present, do a resolution, ignore the address and resolve it.
Yeah. So I think the easiest way would just be like, I'm just looking at the docs now, and we have, you know, podcast value recipient, type equals node and address equals pub key. If we just had a different type, so type equals LN URL pay, and address equals, you know, adam@fountain.fm or dave@getalbi.com, then we just kind of introduce that new type, which is, this is the Lightning address, and every app or service knows what to do with that Lightning address. It just goes to the lookup format in the same way that normal Lightning address payments work.
Now, did the LNURL guys, did they ever endorse this, or are we still doing this on our own?
So from chatting to the guys at Albi, I think the way forward is for us to just do this and then go back to the LNURL guys and just say, hey, this is working. We're all doing it. Can you please add it?
Yeah, because the type name, I don't want to call the type LNURL if it's not LNURL. We could call it you know, something else, because that, you know, they were so resistant to this simple idea last time that I don't want to name this their stuff. So like, it could, you know, whatever we're calling this probably needs to be, you know, I fully agree. It's a simple resolver. And, you know, it got to the point where it's like, well, I mean, we don't need your permission. We'll just go do it. So if we do it, I wonder what we call it. I guess we can hash that out on the, you know, on the thing, but, it makes sense. It makes a lot of sense. I'll look at doing that. Or if you want to do a PR or something with suggestion.
Yeah. I'm happy to write out an issue for it.
Okay. Do that.
Let me switch gears for a second. WaveLake launched. Very confusing to me. There's a lot of enthusiasm. I'm cautiously enthusiastic. Do we know if they are indeed putting out an RSS feed with a value block that can be ingested with the Medium tag? And where does that leave everybody in this case? Do we know anything about this?
Yeah, I think as far as I know, they are. Putting out an RSS feed with the music Medium tag. I could be wrong though.
Right. It feels like we're very close, but we're kind of passing by each other. I mean, that maybe just be my interpretation of the situation.
Yeah. I tried to play with it a few times and got called away every time. And I have not finished going through. I created an account and got in there and then just literally got pulled away. Hmm. So I think it's this WaveLake Studio is what this is. It's studio.wavelake.com. And then you create an account and then but you can upload your music and stuff there, which is good. But I haven't seen a feed. If somebody can send me a feed, maybe Tone Wrecker has a feed that he can send. And that way I can look at the feed and see what's actually in it.
And I guess the second question would be, are you going to support, well, the two things are, maybe I should step back, but are you going to support the Medium tag for music? Have you thought about that?
Yeah, definitely. Would love to support the music Medium tag, just kind of waiting for more.
Well, we have 44,000 feeds with the Medium tag music, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, we do. Those are hand curated. So that, or
it's enough to populate a little section.
Yeah. That's what I wanted. That's why we did it. So me, Alex and I ran that Python, machine learning algorithm over Slurpee. Yeah. Over the whole index for, weeks.
A couple of weeks.
Like a couple of months. Oh, wow. It took forever. Yeah. Uh-huh. And to just try to get an identification of some level of, let's just say, okay, here, let's try to get maybe 50,000 feeds that have music, and we'll go ahead and we'll just hand tag them. And then we at least have something that apps who want to play with music as something to do, they'll just have a corpus of content there to play with. I think the whole thing is interesting. I want to see, we also have this issue, and I think, you're looking at live too, right?
Yeah. That was my next question.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely live is, you know, the highest priority for us. Yeah.
Okay. Well, what do you, What do you need from me on that? Do you need me to give you any support on that from the API or anything else?
I think we're all good. To be honest, it's just been a bit of a hectic few weeks. So we just need to get around to it, really. But yeah, definitely.
seeing as you are the developer, yeah, seems like seems like it might have been a kind of busy.
Yeah, send Nick to a boot camp, and he'll be good to go. You'll be in good shape. if you need anything, you know, please tell me. I'm living in that space right now with the live stuff, trying to get it to be well represented in the API calls where appropriate. And, you know, Podping is there now, so you should be good from that standpoint. I think as far as like getting up to speed with live, I think it's a much easier process now than it was a month ago, you know, or 2 months ago. I think the support is there now to make it doable.
Okay, great. Well, yeah, definitely hold me to it. Hold us to it, and we'll get it done soon.
Well, no, I know it is. And I don't know if you have any, this was why I brought up live, but, you know, Alex and I have been going back and forth on, well, you know, what do you do with some of these things like Mitch is bringing up, where he says, well, you know, for long running, let's just say, you know, no Gender Stream, 100% retro, these sort of 24-hour live streams that never stop. And what do you do with those? And so Alex had told me, he's like, well, you know, why don't we just come up with a new medium? You know, call it whatever. I mean, you know, radio or what, it just, you know, give it some name that indicates that this is a continuous live stream. And I mean, I like that idea. I think having it as a medium is pretty elegant, because medium feels like one of those things that it solves. It really exists in a space within the infrastructure of podcasting that has always been needed, but it was squishy, because it's like, it's not a category, and it's not a different tag. Like, it's not something other than an episode or excuse me, an item. It's an item, but it's like, there's never really a good place to stick this. And medium is so elegant, because you can say, okay, well, this is a different type of thing. So having a long running 24/7 stream, you know, if I found, that lets you as the app know, okay, well, here's this unique thing, and here's how we're going to know how to handle this differently than a normal episode, which is a download, or a live stream, which is a, you know, moment in time piece of content that's streaming. Okay, well, here's a third thing. This other thing is something that just never stops, and so you can tune in and tune out, and as at will. Does that make sense to you? I think it does.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense to separate it out from the, you know, single live episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you're probably really not even looking at Medium right now at all, because you really don't have a use. You don't have none of your features require that, right?
Not right now, but obviously, yeah, plan to support that in the future.
This is, of course, one of my pet little project/peeves. So I someone was kind enough to give me your the Fountain address. So I already put a 1% split in for podcasting 2.0. The replies. I mean, I'm just going to say it. Again, another 2 weeks gone by, nothing on cross app comments. So how do we get replies that are boost replies? How do we get those across to other apps? Is that even possible? Have you thought about it? Have you talked to anybody about it?
Yeah. Great question. And it's a big question. I think we definitely want that to happen. But I think it's as you guys have talked about over the past weeks and months, this is the most difficult tag, and it's the most difficult thing to do. I think there are a few different options, and I'm kind of just waiting to see what happens. I think one option that you guys have talked about over the past few weeks is bridging Boost into Activity Pub. So essentially creating, you know, and I'm not that familiar with Activity Pub, so I might be using the wrong terminology here, but essentially creating a kind of root comment in Activity Pub for each Boost and then letting people reply off of that. That's one option. Another option is Nosta, which is obviously, you know, it's a whole different thing, but I do think it could work. The only thing I think that's potentially missing there, or it's potentially missing from all of these options, is the ability to kind of, you know, associate a payment with that message in a way that isn't just in the text of the message. So yeah, I think there's a few different options. I just think that it is unfortunately just going to take a bit of time. But yeah, I'm definitely, everything that we do in Fountain, I'm thinking about how can we apply this cross app, because ultimately we're competing against Apple and Spotify. And
thank you.
This is the killer feature that is going to, you know, help all of the podcasting 2.0 apps take huge market share from Apple and Spotify, because they're never going to do this, you know? So yeah, I think it will happen. It's just a really difficult thing to do.
Yeah, well, that's a great way to look at it. Yeah.
All of the excitement for me is really in that. And, you know, I set up a friend of mine and his wife, they're doing a podcast, and, he immediately said, oh, I'm building a community on Fountain. And I'm like, that's fantastic. You know, of course, it's unfortunate because it's only one part of his community. The other ones are just kind of left out. But it's definitely where there's excitement, and I'm just gravitating towards where things are working. I think you and I talked briefly, or maybe it was a suggestion that so for Podcasting 2.0, we would be able to make the Boost public after we do the live show. Is that, have you put that on your list somewhere for us?
Yeah, that's on the list. Haven't done it yet, but.
No, it's okay. As long as I'm on the list. Because I stand by it as a podcaster. I've been doing it for a while. There's nothing more exciting than adding a split into my value block and that activating a service. It's just so sexy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, I put a split in to my Get Albie, and now I have two different. I have Conchecks, and I have the Saturn stats package. That's a huge value that I'm getting just by adding 1% into my value block. I mean, this as a podcaster, it clicks. Like, I don't have to integrate with APIs. I don't have to understand any of that. I just need to. And thank God for Sovereign Feeds, where I can just say, oh, this is the Get Albie address, clickety click. This is the Fountain address, clickety click. It resolves everything. Don't have to think about it. Don't have to look up any IDs. I mean, it's getting so beautifully simple that for a podcaster, this is exactly what you want.
Has there ever been anything like, I'm struggling to think of an example of something like this, where you simply begin sending somebody a payment and the service just activates. I mean, like from the sender side, you know, like it, traditionally you would, you know, you go and you register and you set up a payment from the provider side, and they're going to pull money from you. On a regular basis to pay for your use of the service. I'm not sure that there's ever existed a way where I can just, from my side, from the consumer side, I can just begin paying you at random and the service just becomes available. I can't think of any analogy for that.
I don't think so. Oh, I see. I did something wrong. Hold on a second. Thank you, whoever's. The only analogy is sending an email somewhere. It's not a payment, but you send an email, it'll show up in a list or something like that. That's pretty much the only
push
way.
Push-based service activation is not something that I think has ever existed before.
No,
that's kind of exciting. I mean, it's kind of exciting because it solves so many issues: security, privacy, these things. I mean, like you. I can't think of anything else like it. I don't know. Just thinking out loud here.
No, not at all. There's nothing like it. This is why it's so beautiful.
And I like the idea that, you know, the podcasting 2.2 apps are as a group are competing. You know, they're competing really, it's almost not even with Apple and Spotify and these other apps.
It's almost a whole different playing field.
They're competing with malaise.
Malaise?
Yes, yes. They're competing with meh. You know, just like they're competing with an entrenched average user listener experience.
Yes, voila. That's why I like the activity line timeline so much. It's, you know, we've got stuck in this inbox model from day one. I mean, I always like the kind of river of podcasts, you know, which is your unplayed episodes, which works very well. I think almost every app has a version of it now. But we are all stuck in this, here's your podcast, you know, this is the ones you subscribe to or follow. Let's all have that not be the same. I'm looking at you, Oscar. just something new. Something new and exciting, and that's what I'm seeing, and it shows in the results.
Yeah, I think because with podcasting, the fact that in every single app you really have to subscribe to a feed or follow it, depending on what language you're using, and that makes the barrier to listen to the content really high. Whereas there's so much incredible content out there. That's probably you're going to find so interesting or entertaining, but you're never going to subscribe to that feed. And right now, there's not really a way other than outside of the podcast app, just in, you know, word of mouth, to discover that content.
So if a new user comes into Fountain, the activity feed is not, I assume, because it's a global Baller Boost curated feed. That new user's activity feed is not blank when they show up. It comes in with a lot of stuff there.
Yeah. So along with there's four things that go into the activity feed. The first is activity from people that you follow, which will be empty if you're a brand new user. The second is the one Baller Boost from the last 3 days, which you'll always see. So that'll be in there for a new user. And then the third thing is clips that have been liked, a lot in the last, you know, whatever time period. So you can see clips because we want to introduce the clipping feature to new users. And then the final thing is promotions as well. So that's what you'll see, and it will be jumbled up in the feed.
So that is my next question is the activity feed available in some external way? Like could I look at the activity feeds? There's an API or something that I could look at that, or is that still private to the app?
It's still private to the app right now. But yeah, as I said before, I think, you know, the real power of these features is if they work between the apps. So the only reason that it's still private is because we haven't figured out exactly how we're going to share that data between apps. But yeah, at some point I envision that, you know, you'll be able to read that data, you know, for us, because we also have the show feeds as well. So if you go and find a show, you'll be able to see the feed for that show. So, you know, if another app wanted to read the show feed from Fountain, that they could do that. And hopefully we could read that same show feed from another app and we just all merge them.
No, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah, because that, you know,
like that.
I've been forever obsessed with trying to get data about what shows are being listened to, popularity, things like that, like real popularity, not charts, not things that, you know, oh, Apple says these are your top podcasts or Spotify says your top podcast, like real data from actual people listening to stuff and sharing it, clipping it, boosting it, whatever the signals are. And, you know, if I had a way to just, if I had a way to see, you know, 100% anonymized data, just like, you know, oh, hey, this show is just really, this episode is really popular in our app right now. You know, I don't give two craps about like who's boosting it or who's sharing it or clipping it from an index directory standpoint. I just want to know what it is. You know, I want to know what the it is so that I can say, you know, so I can in our, you know, crude ranking, give that higher priority, because clearly it may be some, you know, people are excited about whatever this is, and that may be across, you know, five or six different apps. You know, I would love to just be constantly polling those sort of popularity feeds to say, okay, these are the shows, episodes, and feeds that people are listening to the most now, to have a recent list, because I'm not happy with the bias. Every app has bias. You know, our directory has bias because, you know, we see so much activity with podcasting 2.0 oriented shows and Bitcoin oriented shows and things like that. So, you know, that's not necessarily representative of what's going on across podcasting.
What is the output you want from that, Dave?
I want to be able to amalgamate all of those things. You know, I would love to just have these feed activity so that then I could produce a single endpoint that people could pull that would say, okay, over the last 30 days or the last 7 days or 3 days, these are the feeds that have had just tons of activity.
Okay.
Because that's the most organic discovery mechanism that you can find.
I disagree with that, but okay.
Well, I mean, I guess the most organic is word of mouth, but like,
yes.
What I mean is like, when it comes to algorithmic, that's as close to organic as you can get. Is if people start following shows, listening to episodes and that kind of thing, if that data comes back out of the app and I can see it and then disseminate that back out to, you know, everybody else, it evens out the bias. It levels it out to where there's everybody's biases are becoming equal, which means you have normalized it.
This is interesting. I personally I think the app itself has bias built in. Fountain is clearly an app that has a certain user group because of its what it's been doing early on. And I think Podverse has its own user group, which is very different. And I'm not so sure that, I mean, I understand why you would want to see it. I just don't know if I'd be interested in a feed that is from all these apps. And to me, it's more interesting what you're listening to. I want to know that. I mean, you like stats and data. I get it.
Well, normalized bias. That's what Eric PP. That's right. It's normalized bias. That's what I want. I want normalized bias. Mm-hmm. The way that you, well, see, you know, because I guess, okay, here's my concern. And this leads into a bigger discussion. I put in this thing today into the stats. I tweaked the stats and then it now has an extra set of data in there. These are the hourly and daily stat counts that people are pulling from Todd wanted these. And so we produced them. So this is like feeds with new episodes every 3 days, every 7 days, 10 days, blah, blah, blah. What's bothered me for a long time is that Anchor skews these numbers so hard. they have so many junk feeds on a daily basis that it's noise. It's pure noise. So what I've wanted is a way to have stats that exclude that. First of all, exclude Anchor just because it skews things too hard right now. It's a virus in the podcast industrial complex. But then on a bigger scale, hopefully we can get the new tag that I've proposed that allows hosting companies to indicate whether or not a feed is paid for or free.
Yeah.
So I would like to produce two different sets of stats, essentially. One that's just totals, across the board totals, no cherry picking. But then another set of stats that says these are the feeds that people have paid for. These are that, you know, they've gone to a hosting company or they've done something. Basically, they're the feeds that are not labeled by the hosting company as a free or trial account, which in my opinion, 99.9% of Anchor should have that tag within it. These are all free or trial accounts, essentially. And so that's what I want. Well, that's the bias. That's an example of the type of bias I'm trying to control for here, because if you take something like Fountain, understandably, and for a good reason, and it's beneficial to be this way, there's a strong bias towards Bitcoin podcasting there. And that's good, except that I think on a long enough time scale, you don't want to be hamstrung by that bias. You want to go above that bias. And the same thing with Podverse or any of the other apps. If your bias becomes too strong, you end up limiting your audience because they think because when they get in there, all they see at the top is just this one flavor of show. And I'm not saying that you have that as part of your exposed data, but then it would be really nice if you had this other more normalized set of data that you could say, okay, well, and you could mix that in so that it doesn't look like your bias doesn't stand out as much.
I'm going to ask this question and I'm trying to sound as kind as possible.
Thanks, Dan.
No, don't do that. Who is the intended audience for these stats? Because I there's so much energy and effort goes into this, but the main users seem to be Todd and James. I'm just trying to understand, who is this really for?
It's for everybody. Okay, that's a two-part answer. Answer number one is it's for everyone. Everyone in the podcast industrial complex to see what some actual real numbers may look like that are not influenced by somebody's agenda. Because I really have none. I don't even care that much about stats. So I'm the perfect guy to put stats together because I don't care about stats. The second one is for me, because I'm uncomfortable. There's some the what I see as far as numbers go bother me on a consistent basis, because you know it's like it is with YouTube. You can say, oh, well, you know, we had 20 million hours of video uploaded every single day. Well, okay, well, if only 1,000 hours of that video is ever watched, well, then the number is bullshit. And I don't like existing in a place where I think the numbers are grossly skewed in a way that I can't get my head around what's actually happening. So it's more of an obsession to try to get some idea. I mean, we run an index of, you know, where we're trying to see every podcast in the whole world that exists. And And if I think that the numbers I'm seeing are just flat out wrong or in or not indicative of what's really going on, because the discussion we had at the beginning of the show today about Google Google Podcasts and podcasting is starting to flatten out, the hyper growth is not there, blah blah blah. I really would like to see that indicated in the actual numbers.
So again, and as I stated, I understand why you want it. I just see an enormous amount of energy going into this that is really only used for a headline in an article. As a podcaster, I have no benefit. Maybe it just hasn't been presented to me in a way that is interesting. I don't know if an app developer. I mean, it seems like hosting companies want this information for competitive reasons, to compare to their own internal numbers. How are we doing? And journalists. I'm just trying to understand the actual intended audience besides yourself, which is completely valid.
Let me give you a comparison. So here's the numbers coming out of this right now. Feeds with new episodes in the last 90 days. 490,960 feeds with new episodes in the last 90 days that exclude Anchor, 359,815. So you're talking about 150,000 less podcasts that have produced a new episode in the last 90 days. If you take Anchor out of that equation,
okay.
To me, that's a logarithmic difference in the number in the numbers here. So we're talking about. We're talking about big differences in the numbers. And if people are just looking at, if they're looking at headline stats, it's sort of like CPI versus, headline inflation or whatever, mm-hmm. Versus core inflation. Like, I think we all know that, that 7% inflation is BS. It's like, give me the real, give me the real numbers. Okay.
Right. But inflation is something different because inflation affects people.
Well,
the number of feeds on Anchor that are, or the number of shows with more than feeds with more than, it just doesn't matter to me. That's what I'm just trying to understand.
Well, it doesn't matter to you because you're not a hosting company.
So, okay, thank you. There's my answer. The intended audience is hosting companies, and that's okay. That was the question I asked.
Not just hosting companies. Hosting companies and anybody interested in building a product within the podcast world, I think it's nice to know real numbers so that when you start to go into these things, you don't feel like you're building a service. If you go in and you say, oh man, there's 500,000 feeds, shows posting new episodes every 90 days, you're like, okay, we're going to build our MVP of our new product based on these, these big numbers. If the numbers are far less, if the real numbers are far less, you may decide not to even build that product. Like, I guess what I'm uncomfortable with is people are starting to take our numbers. I see our numbers everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I don't want that to mislead somebody into thinking that the podcast ecosystem can support a product that they may think otherwise about if they had better numbers.
Okay. Okay.
In general, I don't like aggregate anything, but I think I feel like if this one is going to be out there, and it's going to be, people can download our database and look at it. I feel like we sort of owe it to people to give them the most accurate statistics we can.
Okay. That completely valid.
Okay, cool.
Solved. No, because I mean, for me, I like I like it and I don't like it in a way. I don't like leaderboards in general, but I'm always happy to see the Fountain top 10 this week or whatever it is. I love seeing that just because there's excitement around it, and it excites the podcaster and it excites the people who are listening to those podcasts. That excitement is, I really like seeing that. So whenever I think stats, I think, there was an interesting conversation on, the Pod News Weekly Review, Formerly known as, what was that thing called again? I forgot what it used to be called.
Podland.
Podland, right. You know, about length of time listen, which of course we have that information too. And there's, you know, there's two stats packages I look at, and it's phenomenal to see where people are dropping off and where they're coming back in or at all, and where boosts happen. That to me as a podcaster, as someone who's producing programming, that's the kind of stuff that really excites me. So I was just trying to understand the intended audience. Totally get it. It's mainly, and I understand why you want it, since we're producing stats, you want to have the best stats. I got it. It makes total sense to me.
Yeah. Are you, how's that coffee, Oscar?
All good.
Sorry, we get distracted with shiny things sometimes.
Yeah, we do, but it's okay. And I saw the Spurlock page from, I think it's from December, from Livewire. Mm-hmm. The way he laid out the stats that you produced, that's mm-hmm. sexy to look at, man. That's really cool. Let me see, top, what was it called? I think it was literally called Top Podcast Host Income. No, that's not it. Which one was it? The stats. Podcast Index Statistics Visualized.
Yeah, that's the one that's actually what made me put this stuff in there. And it didn't really take that long because I saw that and I was like, oh, man, that just looks, I have got this gut feeling that this is misleading. Because I look at if you saw the river of nonsense coming out of Anchor, you would be like, no. You know, I've actually thought about just not even including Anchor podcasts at all unless they have an iTunes ID associated with them. It's that bad. It's a river of garbage.
What is the discrepancy between the value for value page on Podcast Index, which shows 10,957 versus the numbers from December 3rd in this Livewire, which shows 11,280.
No idea.
Okay.
I will resolve this discrepancy. I have no idea.
That's the number I look at. And from a statistics standpoint, here's the stats I really am interested and love looking at. Value blocks, transcripts, funding tags, chapters, music, medium of music, medium of video. That's the stuff that I would love. I would just say when you're doing stats as a participant, I would love to see that. That's interesting to me. Those are really cool.
One thing that would be cool to see as well is you could have like a shame leaderboard for all the hosting companies for each tag. So you could rank the hosting companies based on the percentage of their feeds that implement each tag.
I don't really like shaming people. But at least you know how you think, Oscar.
Real nice.
It'll work.
A shame activity feed. Is that bad? Like for all the fountain listeners that don't boost.
There you go.
Yeah, this is the guy that's been on Fountain the longest and hasn't
boosted any.
Yeah.
Okay.
You want to thank some people?
Yeah, definitely. We've been getting a lot of boosts coming in during the show. You've probably heard the little sound. That's usually when there's a boostogram coming in. Let's see. Martin Lindeskog is overboosting, 1776. We have Knicha, 12345. Thank you very much. Says, hey-o, cheers, Renee. We got Mike Dell, 54321. Blueberries, really close to launching a bunch of new podcasting 2.0 stuff next week. Yes, Todd has been talking about this. Do we have an actual list of what he's going to be?
Yeah, the Kraken. They're releasing the Kraken.
They're releasing the Kraken. We have Dreb Scott. Hello, Dreb Scott. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Baller, shot caller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
And he just says, go podcasting.
Go podcasting!
Oh, thanks, Dreb.
Yeah, thank you so much, Dreb. Martin Lindeskog with a row of ducks. Martin, I'm not going to read every single time you boost. Eric PP, Eric PP, who has actually been quite helpful in the chat today. 33,333 Boobery with a swing and a row of dicks. Another one, 17,776 live chapters. He liked that idea. Okay. Martin says, I wonder if I could listen to your podcast at the same time I'm writing the show notes for episode. Okay. I'm going to try and read the ones that are relevant. There's another Boobery. Oscar, we're very much looking forward to going live in Fountain. There's numerous lit, no agenda streams that are coming to chew bubblegum and kick ass. Now, where's the gum? He says, all right. Conchax with 69.69 and, we were talking, didn't we have a back and forth with, was it Moritz from Get Albi about helping them?
Onboarding.
Yeah. That's very, mm-hmm. What a cool idea. So
it's on my to-do list. Yeah.
Yeah. So your stats package would actually help you onboard. And why not? Mm-hmm. Doesn't have to be an app. Doesn't have to be podcast or wall. It can be any kind of service who can onboard you. I like that very much. Let me see. There's Boomy still showcasing boostograms with 5,000 sats, 2 times 5,000 sats. Thank you, Boomy. 30,000 from the Tone Wrecker. So much info coming through in the past week with the Medium music tag. Trying to follow RSS feeds from the new Waveleg V4V music site. Help me see how they coded my releases there. We'll be able to compare that against Tone Wrecker Tracks podcast feed. So I expect a full report for the board meeting by the next time we come together, Tone Wrecker, because I'd really like to see it working across the board. And I have no idea if the interface that Breeze has is completely different from the web, and we'll have to see. Dovidas, 25,000 sats. Thank you very much. We have Lightning Maximalist. Oh, that's for no agenda. I'm sorry. 25,000 from Borlaug. Borlaug, thank you for everything you're doing, especially all the teaching you're doing along the way.
That's a nice note.
Yes, very nice. We have, I think that is, yeah, then I get to the delimiter. So that's what's been boosting live as we've been live for the past 1 hour and 36 minutes. Shall we thank the rest of our donors for our value for value segment?
We shall. We got one new subscription, monthly subscription on PayPal.
Oh.
From Trevor at Xenor Partners Limited. Okay. $5 a month.
Thank you very Trevor. Much. Yeah, that's a whole server these days.
Yes, thank you very much, Trevor. And we've got that was only PayPal we got in one off this week. We got a bunch of boostergrams though. We got Harv Hat 33033. No note from Harv Hat.
Oops, sorry about that.
That's some contracts in the background. okay, we got, are you sitting down? We got Farscapian.
Yeah.
300,000 sats.
Baller! Sakala, 20 inch blaze on the Impala.
I think with the Bitcoin price now, that's a new car.
This is through Fountain. Oh, speak of the devil. Love the show. Y'all may be interested in a project I've been working on called Sovereign Stack. It helps you self-host Bitcoin-only value-for-value websites. Check it out, sovereign-stack.org.
Yeah, I have seen him show up. It's very interesting. A lot of people are digging the stuff he put together there. It's a nice little package.
I haven't seen that.
A nice package.
Lots of package talk today. Mere Mortals Podcast, 2222, Row of Ducks through Fountain. He says, God, I agree with Adam. I put timestamps in my show notes in parentheses for my podcasts to satisfy YouTube and Spotify. This was when I first started off, though, and was desperate to do anything to make it a better experience for my non-existent audience. No, that is in reference to our stop molesting your show notes.
Ah, yes.
Cole McCormick through Fountain. He sent us 55 sats. He says, mentioning the Fountain charts, I saw my show at number 39 for most supported around New Year's. Fountain is the way. Rocket ship. Listen to America Plus.
Rocket ship.
Yes, America Plus.
To the moon! To the moon!
Gene Bean 2222 through Fountain, and he says multiple years of uptime on Adam's server is a good use case for the newish kernel live patching functionality most distributions have. That is a good point.
Oh.
Very good point. Satchel of Richards from Joel W1111. No note. Thank you, Joel. Roy. 5-4-3-2-1 through Breeze. And he says, check out the new Breeze SDK. Ooh, I didn't know about this.
They have an SDK? Oh, okay.
Wait, whoa.
How come we didn't get a memo about this? What's happening?
Yeah. Yeah, he probably sent it on Telegram. And I don't open Telegram. Check out the new Breeze SDK. All right. I'm making a note to go check it out. And add non-custodial Lightning payments to your app. Okay. Well, wow.
Here we go. Lightning as a service. Is this the long-awaited Lightning as a service?
I don't know. I'm gonna holler at Roy since he doesn't accept your phone calls anymore.
Yeah, please do. Become a design partner. Oh, okay. This is it. This is the green light. Crucially, this SDK is an end-to-end non-custodial drop-in solution powered by Greenlight, a built-in LSP on-chain interoperability, third-party fiat on-ramps, and other services you operate. It's everything! It's everything you ever wanted!
I came for the apple pie and I got onboarded.
Your Breeze wants to help you thrive in the P2P lightning economy. That's why we're developing this SDK. Developing, keyword. It's the easiest way to tailor lightning to your own environment, letting your users send and receive P2P Bitcoin payments directly from your app. Cool.
Yeah, we'll have to have Roy on the show. Now,
I'd love to have Roy on the show.
Now, Oscar, you switched some of your back end, or maybe all of your back end, to Zebedee. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So we still have our own node on LMPay, which is it's our own node that we run, but using LMPay's software. But we have switched some of our back end over to Zebedee.
Okay, so I guess. Was it a good choice for you? And like, what benefits are you getting out of that? Like, can you tell me anything about it?
Yeah. So I guess the main benefit for us as a business, as an entity, is the custodial risk. So Zebedee have the licenses and all of the, legal stuff to legally custody people's funds. And so for us, that just takes a lot of the risk out of what we're doing from a business perspective and lets us just focus on, the podcasting experience for users. And I think that's really important as we grow, especially with the amount of the volumes as they go up. That was just something that was quite, weighing heavy, obviously, when you're talking about moving people's money around. So that's the main benefit.
Okay. All right, cool. I thought you had done that, yeah.
I love seeing the name Zebedee show up in my Bible. I didn't know it was a biblical name.
First to second Zebedee?
Yeah, I've been reading, doing some Bible study, and I keep saying, they got this name for that product from this. And like all these different names that I see, I'm sure people are like, hey man, we need to see if we can find the domain name. Let's check the Bible. I'm
betting there's Ezekiel. Ezekiel. Download the Ezekiel wallet.
Ezekiel wallet.
Yeah. Okay. Roy. I'll holler at you, Roy, and we'll get you.
Yeah, very cool, man. Very cool.
Dave Jackson, 10,000 sats to Castomatic. He says, just got paid today. Got me a pocket full of change. Go podcasting.
Yo, yo, yo.
Go podcasting!
Let me a little ZZ Top reference from Dave Jackson there.
Yeah.
Todd from Northern Virginia, 33333 through Breeze. And he says, if he's up for it, would love to hear Xavier on the show about his plans for Podcast Addict and Podcasting 2.0. Yeah, I've reached out to Xavier before, and he very politely declined. Oh. He said that he's just not the kind of guy that wants to go on.
No, that's cool. So, we love what he's doing, though. I love what he's doing.
Yeah. If you ever change your mind, Xavier, please.
Anytime. Tell me. Anytime.
Yeah, anytime. Yep. Anonymous 10,000. We got that two times. Mere Mortals Podcast, long row of ducks, big old humongous duck. 222 through Fountain.
It's like a whole duck hunt. It's gone nuts with the ducks. Crazy ducks. Disco duck.
Really appreciate your firm stance of not accepting sponsorships or outside money. really does highlight how special this project is when everyone else is doing their year in review. Apologies, if that, for accepting money from FTX, BlockFi, insert X here. You guys are amazing.
190. It was 197 members of Congress accepted money from FTX. That's almost a third of the U.S. government, of the lawmakers of the U.S. government, took money from FTX. And it's across disgusting. The board. Republicans, Democrats, I don't know about independents, but it's like, it really is. It just shows you how broken that is. Broken.
Your garbage guy probably took money from FTX. It's that extensive. It's
really incredible.
Clarkian 54321 through Fountain, and he says, keep up the great work. GG No Re, Tabletop RPG Podcast is back.
Yay!
After a few months of winter hibernation. Good show. That's my buddy's show. We plan to play and release episodes more regularly this year. Now that we are lightning enabled, we hope to educate and convert our patrons and drop Patreon altogether. Give us a listen.
Yo, whoa.
Boost.
Anonymous 10,000 Sats, go podcasting.
Go podcasting!
You know, the Anonymous, I'm convinced that most of those are Podverse.
Really?
Yeah, I think with an update somewhere, I became anonymous too.
Oh, you did?
I sent like some monster boostagram to New Media Show, like 50,000, another 50,000. And it's like, anonymous, 50,000. Anonymous, 50,000.
Oh, that's true. That
like, no, I want my name checked.
It's me. Let's see, 36,969 sats from Hey Citizen. Podverse.
Nice.
And the note is, need to reassure the listeners that Richard Stallman will not break into your home to break wind. Although he does cry every time a user locks themselves into a proprietary ecosystem.
Oh, man. Does anyone still know the Richard Stallman legend at this point? I mean, he's getting up there in the years.
P.S. I apologize to anyone who gets offended at some of my clips on Podverse. I just wanted to spread the inspirational quotes that have given me hope. If I keep working and boosting hard, perhaps I too will be able to obtain wood when I'm Adam's age.
Wow, man. That's like...
That is like the sloppiest backhanded compliment I've ever seen.
I'm not sure it is a compliment, but...
nice. Okay. But Richard Stallman, man, the epic story of his, is it his contract when he does a speaking gig? You can Google that and find it online. Like if he agrees to speak, you have to, you know, his speaking contract, the stuff that's in it is quite humorous.
Funny. Oh, totally. Yeah. There's all kinds of things. And he doesn't want a hotel room. He has to stay with somebody. I mean, he needs
special food for his parrot that he brings with him.
For his parrot. That's right. I got to give him props. He's very consistent about that. He's very consistent. High level appreciation for that.
Follow up from Hey Citizen 6969 through Podverse. He says, I didn't forget to boost last show, but I was bamboozled. I'm still on Team Podverse, but sometimes the confetti is a lie. Regarding the episode splits are not supported on Podverse discussion, I take it to mean that boosting the lit doesn't respect the episode split.
Mitch did clarify this, that Podverse, as long as it's in the RSS feed, then it does respect the splits.
Yeah. That's right.
Okay. So, yep. Which is always the source of truth.
Respect the split. Respect boost the lit. Split.
Ooh, I like that.
C-Dubs 10101 binary boost through Boost CLI. He's doing it old school. BoostBot is now on Nostr, and he gives a long Nostr address, nostr.ch/blah, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, cool. I actually, so what does that mean? So,
I don't know.
Oh, I do. Yeah, of course I know what it means.
Oh, here it is. Yeah, I see it. Okay. Yeah, he's pumping out the boost bot through Nostr.
Huh.
Yeah, I see them all here.
Let me see if I can find that. That's kind of interesting.
I clicked the link and it showed me all the boosts.
Oh.
All right. Anonymous 5,000 sats through Podverse. And he says, send Bitcoin boosts to your favorite podcasters with Podverse plus Albie. #FOSS.
Nice.
Booberry, Satchel Richards, 1111 through the Boost CLI. And he says, testing attention, please paging Dr. C Dubs. Okay. All righty. 10,000 sats from the Market Surfer through Podverse. And he says, my first boost. Easy, guys. It's my first time. Thanks to the entire community and especially Sir Alex and Mitch. Go podcasting.
Yo, 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 yo.
Go podcasting! 5,000 sats from Anonymous. Again, and we got 20,000 sats from Sir Doug on Fountain. He says, thanks for the tip on loading up Fountain using a debit card. Well, there you go.
There Thank you go. Awesome. It's a good tip. Okay. Martin Lindeskog just came in to top everybody. Well, not exactly.
What
did
he do?
Well, he did.
What
did he do? He did throw out a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Baller.
You get a baller for that.
Baller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
You got it. I got it.
Boomy gave us three batches of 5,000 sats. Thank you, Martin Lindeskog, by the way.
Yes.
Boomy says, showcasing boostergrams. I guess he's demoing something. And then he gave two more and says, still showcasing boostergrams. Okay.
I don't think we're seeing any CurioCaster boosts today for some reason.
Martin, I wonder what Martin post. What did he boost from?
Podverse. A lot. Most of this is Podverse, some Fountain, and the Boost CLI, but not, no. And I know that people are sending them, but it's not coming through for some reason. Maybe it's not coming through on just on my node. Anything's possible. It's amazing the shit works at all.
Yeah, it does.
It's what I keep telling my wife. She's like, you know, someone had a problem. Said, it's amazing this shit works at all. I don't know what to say. It's just,
yeah.
Sorry. Yeah.
BN for 2222. He says, working on chapters for my podcast's past episodes. What's the best tool to build and deploy chapters? Well, I would say Hypercatcher.
I like Hypercatcher. Yeah. That's, I love the cloud chapters. I love that Dreb does this. Mm-hmm. For all the shows I do, and certainly for podcasting 2.0, for which he receives a handsome split across
very
the board.
Handsome.
Very handsome. Very handsome. Very handsome split.
Lavish, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 through Fountain. He says, you like space? Well, I guess so.
I guess.
Know. All right. Yeah. Sure. The Delimiter Comic Strip Blogger, 33015 sats through Fountain. And he says, Dave, Adam, the open source nature of your discourse is a most refreshing main course for the informed podcast listeners you have amassed with this fine product. For dessert, perhaps listen to AI.cooking, which contains a selection of curated news items about artificial intelligence. CSB prepares the selection, whilst the uniquely erudite Gwoof serves it up with aplomb. Yo.
Yo, and thank you, Commissar Blogger. The man who had never donated to any of my shows for almost 15 years. And then all of a sudden, boom, he's on every single show. It's very much appreciated, man. Love it.
He's becoming a quite adept writer of the English language, by the way. These boosts are getting better every week.
There's Dreb Scott, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7.
Oh.
To beat Martin's boost.
Baller. Shakala. 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
Boost battle. Commence.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah. Let's see.
We have monthlies?
Yeah, we do. I had to grab them off of the table here. Monthlies. Tim Hudgens, $25, my buddy. Paul Erskine, $11.14. David Woodfine, $3. Jeremy Gerds, $5. And that's our group for today.
Thank you all very much. This is Value for Value. You can read more about that at value4value.info. But if you'd like to support the show with value because you got something out of it, which is not just the show, it is the liquidity on the node. It Martin Lindeskog. I'm out of Satoshis. I can't catch up. You can do it a number of ways. You can go to podcastindex.org. We have an on-chain through Tallycoin if you'd like to give us some support that way. We also have the fiat fund coupons, which of course is the actually I'm going to take a look at the Tallycoin, see how we're doing again, if we got anything on chain. So that's the big red donate button. And outside of that, we have, I don't know, 3rd of January was the last one. Yeah. Unchained. 3rd of January. I don't know if we missed that one. Eric PP sent that on January 3rd. 33,317. I'm sorry. We must have missed that on the last show. Sorry about that, Eric PP.
But it's because we're so jaded about Tallycoin.
We really are, because there's never anything there.
And yeah, all it's of a sudden, redheaded stepchild of donations.
And all of a sudden it showed up. But really, this is a project that is supported by the people who are in it. Podcastindex.social, if you want to join us there, not for promoting your podcast, but to be a part of the active development. So we'll gladly give you an invite for that. And of course, get one of those fantastic modern apps at newpodcastapps.com. Now with HTTPS.
Nude podcast apps. What about nude podcast apps? Is it HTTPS compliant?
I don't run that. I don't know who set that up. Let me see. Yeah, nude podcast apps.com. It works.
It is HTTPS compliant.
Yeah.
Yes. Ooh. So you can hit it with, you can securely hit new podcast apps from any direction. Yeah.
And tell your friends about it, please. There's CurioCaster. Okay. Boost not, Tone Wrecker, 403 sats. I guess it's not, man, I wonder why that is. I wonder if it's just not coming through on my node. That's possible.
Maybe.
Who knows? Oscar, are you still awake?
Yeah, still here.
Okay, good. Really appreciate you coming, especially staying up late and then coming through the, coming to the board meeting with us today. Is there anything else we can do for you? Is there any support you need? You know, can we send you some hookers and blow? I mean, you just tell us what you need. What can we do for you?
No, I think all good. I think my only one request to everyone listening would be, you know, now that we've got the on-ramp with Apple Pay and with Google Pay, you know, now's a good time to go and grab one of your friends or family members or colleagues and just show them, you know, podcasting 2.0, you know, it's much easier than it was a couple of weeks ago to get started on Fountain. So yeah, go and grab a friend, grab a family member or coworker or something and just, you know, onboard them.
Take your mom out to lunch, a long lunch, and show her how to use Fountain and get her onboarded.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Dave, yep. What can I do for you, brother? I've been doing the help desk. That's another week of help desk.
You have been, yes, another week of help desk. You have, and it's been fantastic. It keeps the wolves at bay and gives me time to take care of their problems.
Never heard back from that takedown guy.
No, you asked him to explain himself, and he did not.
No, so I just said, you know, could you please tell me what your company name is, and just, you know, show me that you are indeed, you represent Fox News, and curious why you didn't do the process that is published of a DMCA takedown.
I wonder if he ever actually hit Martin. Because he was referencing a pod friend URL.
Yeah, he was. You're telling us to remove this account. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Well, yeah, have you gotten any takedown stuff, Oscar? Do you get pestered with those?
No, haven't received any.
No, you're living the dream, brother. How do I get signed up for whatever you're doing?
All right, gentlemen, perfectly under the wire, 1 hour, 57 minutes. This has been a very, very invigorating board meeting. Oscar, congratulations on all the success. We'll be back next week with more to discuss. What have we been missing? There's a lot of stuff I know we're missing, Dave. What have we not hit on today so I can write it down?
Oh, I mean, I'll have to scan my notes and send them to you. I mean, every week we only make it halfway through my page. So we'll just have to... It's on the long list.
On the long list. All right, everybody in the chat, thank you very much for being with us. Lit and Live Podcasting 2.0 will return next week. Another board meeting. You are cordially invited. And we'll see you then here on Podcasting 2.0.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go Podcasting!
podcasts are cool.